Now, this is the introduction to Judges 6. Where are we?
Just listen.
We're in Judges 6 for right now, but yeah, I'm not there, but you're there.
Where am I?
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall I cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If you're not in that position, you have one option. Repent.
What position is that?
The signs that follow a believer.
The sign of the visitation.
Now, in Ephesians, as another introduction to Judges 6, my only role in life is to prepare you to do stuff. Gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, so the saints can do the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind and wave of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, and in the Greek it's equally, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And that's what it means when the tabernacle raised itself. It's the edifying of itself in love. God has done all that he's going to do. It's finished. Now it only takes your turning from self. That's all. Every time you're tempted to think about yourself or your opinion or your ideas or your something, you don't sit there and try to figure it out. That's child's play. You turn. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, making judgments by sensory perception. That's the test. If you're not there, you turn. You don't try to get it. You don't try to resolve it. You turn. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. You don't have to walk that way anymore. You don't have to do that anymore. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Now lasciviousness, we think that means sex stuff. Lascivious means wanting more than you have at that instant. Whether that's more love, if you want more love, give it. Whether that's more money, if you want money, give it. Whether that's more friends, if you want friends, give it. You never again have to seek after anything. Nothing. Zero. If you're not there, turn from where you're at, where you are. Don't try to get something, just turn from where you are. Who have who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life the old man. The old man is your sensory perception, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Every time you desire something that you don't have, first thing you do is you sit down and calculate how to get it. That's the test. Stop calculating. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, etc., etc. Now, what happens if you're not there? Well, God says, obey. And what's the obedience? The only obedience, singular obedience that's required of you is turn from self. Nothing else. No thing else. Never, ever, once is required of you except to turn from self. It's a mystery. It's simple. It's wonderful. It's great. It's mind-blowing. It doesn't require that you've spent 14 years studying. If you spent 14 years studying, it just means you were stupid. Just turn. Oh, but it's so fun to swim in your own shit. Every once in a while you take a big bite. Either that or returning and eating your own vomit. Now, God has a plan. He wants your instant obedience. Instant. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Obedience, what does that mean? Well, I got to do this, this. No, turn from self. That's the obedience God demands. Because everything else is completed. But God's got a way. See, if you don't do that, now we're ready to study Judges. Judges 6. Judges is a book about the history of Israel, but it's really a book about you. It's this inexorable pattern that goes on where there's revelation, there's walking in the revelation for a little bit of time, there's apostasy, and then there's all kinds of crap. Then there's punishment. Then there's a prophet sent. Then the same the process continues. That's what the book of Judges is about. It's about 300 or 400 years of the history of Israel when they went through the cycle, the same exact cycle that you go through. Ha-ha, I got revelation. A prophet came. You live in that revelation for a minute. Things are neat, wonderful. Nothing can affect you. No thing can come against you. Oh, shit. What happened now? And then what happens? Then God doesn't fix it. God sends Midianites. We're going to find out about Midianites tonight. God sends a bunch of Midianites. You're praying for God to fix it, and God's sending you Midianites. Midianites are big and ugly.
A lot of them are
one time they were a friend of the law.
That's right. They all, just like everything else, it has its purpose, and as the progression, as the revelation progresses, at that point, Midianites are gone. They're no, they have to be destroyed. The high places in Bethel and Gilgal were fine. The moment the temple was dedicated, they're destroyed. The same with the Midianites. Moses married a Midianite. Caleb was probably, the Kenites were of the Midianites. Well, you don't want to hear Bible history, you want to hear how it affects you.
Is there a reason?
Nice ones?
What?
Kenites, the nice ones.
Well, yeah.
Kenites were friends.
Kenites were friends of the bride. Caleb was a Kenite.
Was there a reason? I mean, is there specifically why Judges is different? I mean, is it a different thing than what happened after when kings were?
Well, the king is the revelation of Christ. The judges are this process before the Christ is fully. There's no revelation, so there's no king. And that's what happens in the metaphor.
Okay, but along with the kings, there's the apostate kings too.
Oh, sure.
And then there's, but with the judges, there's.
It's apostate judges.
What does it need to be?
Okay, Judges 6. Does everybody got a little handle on what's happening in Judges? Okay, the word Midian. Midianites, the word Midian in the Hebrew means place of judgment.
What does apostate mean?
Apostate means you're fucked up.
Spirit of God's point of view.
Huh? You got it?
Oh, yeah, you say usually a love, red, pain, and burning. It's Greek.
Can't be it, man.
Midian means in the Hebrew word for Midian means place of judgment or place of chastisement. Right.
I think apostate means away from the place, actually.
Yeah.
It means you fucked up.
Yeah, but I mean, it's funny that it matches up like that.
Yeah.
Holy
fuck, man. Well, yeah, apostate.
Judges 6.
Not that apostate.
It helps to
be solid when you're married.
Let's quit.
This is really a sick group.
Harry started.
Now, Criswell really doesn't have to put up with
this. W.A.
Well, we've been away 2 weeks.
And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the children of evil did Israel in the sight of the Lord. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord.
How did your brother?
As if they could do it away from the sight of the Lord.
Right. Now, what was the evil they did? What was the evil they did? That's the singular common denominator throughout the Bible. Every man sought his own way. Huh?
Sounds familiar.
Does that sound familiar? Is that kind of hitting you home? You seeking establishing their own rightness. This is a nice. This looks like. This is reasonable.
How could they be so stupid?
Okay, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian. 7 years. Now Midian, interestingly, from a historical standpoint, nobody knows where Midian is. The Midianites were sort of around all the time. They were around at Sinai, they were around when they came out of Egypt. They're never in Egypt, by the way. Midians can't be in Egypt. Midianites can only come after you've been baptized, after you've left the world. So Midians, but they're always sort of around.
They're a motorcycle gang.
Yeah, they're a gang. They're right. They're just sort of, what they do is they sort of follow you.
I hate that. I hate waiting. Following.
Midians sort of follow you.
Like vultures in the desert.
Yeah. Right.
They catch the wheat.
What did you say?
What?
What do you mean?
Place of chastisement or place of judgment. But see, it's a kind of thing. It really means place of chastisement. But it's a kind of thing that. But it can't happen if you're in the world. God didn't give a flip about the world. He doesn't spank you if you're in the world. He says, get out. He's just destroying everything. But see the difference, there's no, Midians aren't punishment because they're a friend. They're a friend of Israel. So they can't punish you, but they can chastise you. Now all this is from God's standpoint. Now this is the metaphor for all of the people and things in your life after you've left Egypt, which you consider negative. It's a place of judgment, place of chastisement, place of learning to hear under.
It doesn't look any different than it did before.
No, of course not. Only you, it only looks, and only you can see. Only you know. Okay? You got a handle on Midianites now.
Yeah.
Got a little handle on Midianites. Now when you read about these guys in the Old Testament, then you can sort of, you can feel about what it's about. It's not just some history book. It's, my God, I know a bunch of Midianites, and they're all in this room.
Some are bigger than others.
What?
Some are bigger Midianites than others.
And the hand of Midian prevailed. Another important point. Against Israel. In time. Bad news. And because of the, we only made one verse, Pete. You said two.
I know, I lied.
I was trusting you, too.
You let him trust
me. He gives him one chance and he blows.
Right. And the hand of Midian prevailed. Oh, I said that. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. Now, what the hell does that mean? How many, do you know anything about dens and caves and strongholds?
Hide out.
What is name?
It's kind of like what David would hide in when he was running from
Saul. That's right.
And
that's right.
All through history.
But it's also where you're hiding.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Hiding from the Midianites, hiding from God.
Amen. Dens, caves, strongholds.
We hide from the chastisement.
You hide from the chastisement.
Rather than what?
See. Repent. God will destroy everything in the universe if you repent to protect you. You've seen it. We've seen it 1,000 times. The moment you turn from self, the revelation of Christ is manifested in you. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available, resident within you. What the hell can you be concerned about?
This is all talking about your head trips, right? The way you hide. You're in the land with the Midians, and they're putting all this shit on you, and you're afraid of them, and you don't speak to them, and you hide in your this place and that place, you cover up.
Well, some of it's physical hiding.
Yeah.
Some
retreat
of it's
from people.
When you retreat, when you
don't return a phone call.
When you whatever. You know, there's a couple of you that know a lot about being immobilized. Won't mention any names, but
yeah, it's because you're in this cave.
You're in the cave.
And you can ignore the fact that nationally, Israel is
just being wiped out, but you're hiding in the cave.
So you can ignore it, that way you don't have to repent.
Man. Just
say, I got my little campfire.
I got my shit together. I'm hiding out.
Immobilized.
Got my stronghold.
Yeah, but I'm safe.
Okay, you getting a picture of this?
Yeah.
Picture. I can't say two words. Wash and picture. Probably several others. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, and they came up against them, and they encamped against them. Now you got the picture here? You're sowing something good. I'm going to put this in the ground, and then this is going to happen, and I got it together. Soon, and it starts to come up the ground, and before it's even ready to harvest, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east come and get it. Right, you got the plan, you got it worked out.
You can't make one deal.
You got it worked out. I got that. I got it. I got it. Is this sort of striking home at all?
Yes.
Huh? All right. And remember Haggai said, you earn money to put in a bag full of holes? And he said, even the little bit you get, I blow on it. God's, you don't want God to blow on your stuff.
You'd be gone.
Meltdown.
Huh?
You'd be gone.
That's not in your Bible.
Huh? Yes, it is. Okay. I lost my place.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And They encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass.
They couldn't even turn to their animals.
That's getting pretty interesting. What? Did you just find that out?
There's not much you can use in this stuff.
For they came without their ass. No.
With their cattle. Get it.
Up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for the multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. But the Lord sent the Midianites to get him to the place where the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now, they could have cried unto the Lord a long time ago here, before all the grasshoppers, and they lost their ass.
We've already done
what?
This.
All right. Okay.
And grasshoppers all over the red. Yes,
and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth from the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. See, the only real battle that's going on is the battle of idolatry. That's the only real battle that's going on.
But I can't get out. I got to say this to get it out of my head. You know, Israel goes back to their strongholds. And Paul said, our weapons are not carnal, but mighty to...
Pulling down of strongholds.
It's like, this is what happens when that ghost comes back up. And I get back into that.
Amen. We're going to see that more clearly in a minute. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Orpha, that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Okay, now, before we go any further, the word Gideon in the Hebrew means one who cuts down, one who fells trees or idols or... It's the idea of he's the one that pulls down and destroys the strongholds. Gideon means to cut down.
It's like the wave.
That's right. But Gideon didn't know this. Gideon didn't know who he was. So he's affected by all this the same as everybody else. And he's taking this little bit of wheat that they've hidden out and he's not even threshing it on the threshing floor. He's in the wine press threshing it. He's hiding from the Midianites. In other words, he's just barely surviving. He's not living, he's surviving. Now, I'm tired of you guys just surviving. It's time you took up your full inheritance. It doesn't mean you're going to get rich or not, but it means that you're no longer surviving. It means you won't care. So the angel is sitting there, and he's watching Gideon. And Gideon's, he's not, you look at Gideon, you don't really think that this guy is the next leader of Israel. He's the one that's going to deliver the nation of Israel.
He looked like Pee Wee Herman.
He was not a rocket scientist.
You remember
Ring. Wonder what happened to him. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Gideon says, "Right." Understand? Right. Nothing by the sensory perception looked as if as God saw it. By sensory perception, his whole nation was being wiped out. All of his people were gone. The plan of God was of absolutely none effect. His family was, he was the least of the families, and he was the least of the least of the, he was just like David. Well, we'll find out more. But the angel of the Lord said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Now, since there's neither male nor female, and since the God is no respecter of persons, if you are a believer, then God is saying to you, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." That's why this stuff is in here. So that you don't have to pay any attention to Midianites. You're going to slay, we're going to slay 120,000 Midianites in a minute. You know how we're going to do it? With a trumpet in one hand and a lamp that's sitting inside an empty clay pot in the other.
It's like flashlights, coffee cups.
You know, I'm armed.
A kazoo.
You can stand there. Wait.
Kazoo.
Kazoo band with flashlights.
Almost a master's degree.
That's why I don't get my master's degree. I don't want to embarrass anybody.
Son of a professional.
Yes. And Gideon said unto him,
"What the?
Oh my Lord! Oh my God! If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?"
He argues with an angel.
Just like many of you have argued. This is, I think one translation for the first word, Gideon, in the English is Denise.
Bitchy.
Bitch.
This is also, it's a verb. This is also part of his mighty man of valor thing, the idea that he's complaining, he's questioning,
this
he's doubting.
Exactly, yes.
That's the strength, because it's weak.
No, we're listening, aren't we? We're listening. This is us listening. Oh my God! If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles? I want to see a miracle. Come on, God. Let me see a miracle.
Just a little miracle.
A little miracle. Miracle. Which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Commending yourself openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And the Lord looked upon him. So now we know that the angel was the Lord. God's sitting there in the stone, listening to this idiot complain. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. What was his might? His lack of rightness.
Well, wait a minute, wait a minute. I mean, isn't that wasn't he full of rightness? Saying, you know, he's complaining,
I want you to visualize yourself. I want you to visualize something, all right? I want you to visualize that you got an appointment at 9:15 to talk to God. And you're going to be with God face to face. And you're going to have an opportunity to ask him any questions in the universe. And you're going to be able to say anything you want to him. And you're going to be able to know all mysteries. You're going to make anything you want. All you have to do is, and you're going to, you know, whatever you want, ask him. What would you say to him?
Get any tips?
But what it is he's complaining. He is, in that sense, he is full of rightness because he's defined a previous condition. But his weakness, because of the Midianites, made him have no rightness, no position. So he can't be right about having no position because it was the Midianites that came upon him and made him so he couldn't have any position.
Strength was his weakness.
Right. This is the message of, but it's not just, well, let's go on there.
Well, part of it wasn't, he was to the point where he knew there was nothing he could do. I mean, he was hiding and he knew it. He was afraid.
Right. Yeah. Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now that's the only question that you have to ask. Have not I sent thee? Has God sent you? Do you know, we talked about this on that demo tape, and it's the first time I think I've talked about it publicly. But God has not changed. He's exactly the same as he was in this era. He's exactly the same as he was with Noah and Adam. Everything is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Before, it's the same. Okay, so let's assume that you owe the IRS $47,000. Two wives have left you.
Who's he talking about?
You don't have, your company has gone to pot.
You've gone to pot.
Literally. You've gone to pot. Everything's wrong. Everything is totally wrong in your life. Everything. Everything is wrong in your life. Now, If we are talking about that, we say, well, the fact that you lost all the money, the fact your wives left you, the fact this and this, that's what drove you here. If we were writing about this for the book of Acts, it would say, and God told Harry to come to this Bible study.
That's the way he talks.
Do you understand that?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
That's how he talks.
Oh. That's simple. That's just what he
Do you understand that? If we were writing this, if we were living the book of Acts, and we were writing, we are living the book of Acts, but all of the calamities that take place in your life, you say are what drove you to a position. If we were writing it, we would say, and God told Denise to marry Doug.
That's what complaining seems like, rebellion.
And God told Denise to come to this Bible study.
The other thing I found interesting about that is the way, if we were talking about it, we'd split it up into all kinds of causes and purposes, but in the book it gets dissolved.
Just God said,
just, you don't go for
and they did it. Do you understand? This is extremely important. I've never talked about this publicly before. But I can prove this to you scripturally. Over and over and over.
You don't think God sat on the rock there?
God, sure, but it didn't look like God. Looked like me. Looked exactly like this dumb vessel right here. It was the angel whose function it was to speak. It was the prophet whose function it was to see through the Midianites. And then it was seen as the angel, the prophet, and then it was the Lord. It's important you understand this.
He is all
Another thing I see is that he said, but now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And most of the time we think, why is all this stuff happening to us? Why is God letting this stuff happen to us? Not seeing. Why is
God directing it to happen.
Delivering us over to these things.
Amen.
Yeah.
And then
he's
forsaken us in it.
Yeah. Have I not sent you? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor. And I am the least in my father's house. Just like Paul said, I am the least of the apostles. My family is poor, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. That's enough for the night. The first thing he did after this is he cut down the pillar in the grove of his father's house. He destroyed it. Now, all of you wanted me to talk about body pillars so that we can get rid of the body pillars. I don't think we can get rid of the body pillars until we're publicly identified with the doctrine.
Until we cut down the grove pillars in our own house, our father's house.
Because it's being publicly identified with nothing. What does it mean to you if when I say being publicly identified with the doctrine? Well, it means I'm publicly identified to the cross. Well, it means I'm You can't tell me what it means. Well, the thing I want you to take away from this tonight is to know who the Midianites are. And that the Midianites are sent there by God, and they're sent there for one reason, to cause you to turn from self. But our function, if you look at it, our function as a body is to smite the Midianites as one man. And the only question that each of us have to ask is, do we know that God sent us? Now there's no, but you see, to smite the Midianites means to smite everything. All the promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen. That means that every conceivable need that you can be presented with is met in Him. And anything else is just some Midianites messing around. And you can destroy 120,000 of them in one. Just let the light shine by breaking the outer vessel. Let the light come through this vessel. Wow. And they'll destroy themselves. Can everybody take the bread? Remember, one of the signs is that will follow a believer is that, and it says not just there, it says it in James and elsewhere, you lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. You don't have to beg. There's no fear, no sudden fear, not even a sudden fear shall come upon you. There'll be a certainty, a knowledge that can be tested against anything, that you will know who you are. Well, we're going to see tomorrow night, or whenever we meet next, that the first thing that Gideon does is he builds an altar. And he calls the name of the altar Jehovah Shalom. God of peace. Now, that's not some external phenomena. It's when you can build that, when you can see that aspect of the altar, that there is nothing that can possibly ever again come against you. No illness, no need, no demon from hell, no thing of the flesh, no mind, nothing that can disturb your peace. Now, this process that we're about is to try to make the things of the Spirit felt. Bring them into your consciousness, bring them into your understanding, bring them into your experience, so that you can be a mystic, so you will experience what you know. Now this part of what are called the sacraments, baptism is one, this is another, whereby there is a physical sensory perception of this eternal fact. And it's a part and parcel of what the renewal of your mind means. And I want you to know that by these stripes you are healed. By this bread you shall never hunger again. By this wine you shall never thirst again for anything, if it's done with understanding. Now if you eat it unworthily, that means you don't discern the Lord's body. It means there is some part of you that still thinks that you can do something. So eat it worthily. It has nothing to do with your condition, because all of us are unworthy. But it has everything to do with His sacrifice. He is the perfect sacrifice. And by these stripes you are healed, by this bread all needs are met, all sustenance is complete, all dreams, all ambitions, everything is finished. And that same night in which He was betrayed, He took the bread, and He broke it, and He blessed it, saying, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth, who bringeth forth the bread of life, visibly from this earthen vessel. He said, take, eat, this is my body. And again, the thing that I detected in a lot of happenings since we've been meeting, haven't been meeting, is our subtle attempts to make yourselves worthy. If you make yourself worthy, you try to make yourself worthy, then the blood is of no value to you.
Yeah.
If you try to justify yourself, the blood is of no value to you.
That's good.
That's good.
So by this and this only are you worthy, and you're worthy beyond anything in the universe. You are then why the universe was created. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he said, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine. And he said, This is my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sin. Now, sin is a word that's come to mean so many garbage things in our minds in English. You know, all kinds of religious crap. But it's for the remission. When it comes right down to it, it's just so you will recognize that it's finished. Now you are complete in Him. Life.
Let me say one thing.
Okay.
It was neat. Just before I drank this, all that was said, just before I drank it, I for some reason got this thing about my kids in my head, and I imagined their faces. I mean, it was in a moment of time, but it seemed like it was plenty of time. I imagined little Gary's face and the other, and saying
Sarah, Julie, and Angela.
Yeah.
Those
girls, yeah. And I imagined looking in their face and saying, "Is there any doubt in your mind that I love you?" And doing, you know, making them realize that that was true. And then I realized that that's God's words to us.
Man.
Is there any doubt in your mind that I love you?
That's neat, because I was thinking about that verse when he was saying nothing can separate you. And, you know, at the end of this chapter 8 of Romans, it says, you know, height or depth or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, Jesus our Lord.
Right.
It's like, if he's our life, you know, the idea of God and Jesus being separated is impossible. You know? And yeah. They're one.
Right.
And that's the same. If he is our life, then there's nothing.
Right.